I want you to go in your Bibles over to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, if you would. I'm going to continue on the message that I started last week. I got a few more things that I didn't get through. And you know, church, as a pastor, I'm concerned about, as a human, as a man from Texas, I'm concerned about our world. I'm concerned about our economy. I'm concerned about the things going on. I'm concerned about the way the world's turning and the liberalism that's coming in our society and our communities and schools and things like this. Not so much because we don't see it. It's, you know, we live in the land that time forgot around here. I don't know if y'all figured that out yet. You know, we got people still trying to figure out how to work a cell phone around here. I mean, I don't hate to, you know, because we're all kind of involved in that, you know, and me included, you know, but we are. I mean, the world is, you know, I hadn't even got on computer. I'll throw this at you. I'm fairly skilled. I'm better than Dwayne, but that ain't much. I have finally found out, you know, like figured out like what MSN Messenger is, and that's so old now. They've already gone to Facebook. Now they've gone to Twitter. I don't even understand what that is. I don't even know how you tweet. But I don't even understand it. I mean, I understand the technology, but I don't know what they're tweeting on. Right? And so, and I'm still extremely scared of all of it. I have command over my computer because I have learned just turn it off. I used to hear the question, you know, it used to be with computers. I'll never forget. Years ago, the church was arranged differently, and the offices used to be right over in there. That's how that wall where the nursery is. And Jerry Taggy was the secretary around here, and she'd never worked with computers. And so Pastor Randy had bought like a, I don't even know what they were. They weren't even like, I mean, in those days, they weren't, I don't know what they were, like little IBM jobs. The whole screen was about like this, you know. And she was all intimidated by this thing. And I walked by the office one day, and she said, I'm just so intimidated by this thing. I said, why are you intimidated by it? I said, just pull the plug. It's a piece of equipment. She said, oh, you can't do that. If you pull the plug, everything's going to be lost. Well, I've learned that's baloney. That computer jack with you, just push the button and shut it off. It'll come back on. We'll start over. I just don't let that thing have dominance over me. But it... You know, there's so much that goes on and can take place that I don't have any earthly idea. And we're kind of like the land that time forgot around here. And so there's things going on in the world that takes place in Chicago and Detroit, New York, that we don't even understand it here because we're not in that. We're still country folks. We're still thinking we're still got us a good base of godliness in our lives and in our schools and in everything that we're doing. Y'all with me? But I'm concerned because the crazier it gets out there, it eventually filters down to us, right? And so the only thing I know to do is as a pastor is to just encourage y'all and everybody that listen on the radio and everything else that we have to be stronger. We have to rise up. This is a day and time that we as a church have to rise to the occasion. We have to be, each and every one of us do not have to, should not be waiting on the pastor to get something to happen. Each and every one of us should be pastors in our own self and care about people in our own selves and ministers in our own selves and praying for people and laying hands on people and speaking the word of God to people. And we have to, it's time for us to turn up the heat on our end. Can I have an amen? Yesterday we had my 30-year class reunion yesterday. And I was voted as the person that had most changed. Imagine that. But I was also the person that had been married the longest. So I said, hey, y'all think that maybe one goes with the other? Huh? And so, you know, everybody's looking at me like, you know, it's so funny because I was talking about it with my wife this morning. I said, you know, it's so funny because you're sitting around there and you went to school with all these people and you've been around them, but yet as I sat there, you could tell that they were freaked out by me. And I'm like, wait, can't you understand? I'm just still Robert, but you know, this is what I do. But they were like, frozen in time, like, oh God. You know? And of course I was just me. You know, I rode my Harley down there. And showed them that preacher's gonna have fun in life. And so anyway, point being, it's time for us to turn up the heat. It's time for us as Christians not to be hidden, not to be passive, but to be aggressive in what we believe. I'm tired of splitting hairs with churches over little doctrinal issues that really don't mount to a hill of beans. And come to a time when we as Christians can stand up and say, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth and all therein. And in Jesus Christ his Son. That's what we believe in. We believe the Word of God is true. Folks, there's people out there, we don't even think about it. Most people around here, and maybe I'm naive, but I believe most people around here, you throw a Bible down and say, you believe that's the Word of God? Most people around here are going to say, yes, whether they go to church or not. They're going to believe that this is an inspired Word of God. Am I right? Do y'all agree with me on that? No matter what faith they go to, or if they're not even of any faith, they usually have a respect for the Bible. We still have that. But folks, there's people that are preaching, that are not preaching, but people that are making movies and doing other things like that, that are saying this is just a book. It's no different than if you bought a cookbook. There's not an ounce of difference. It's just a book. And, you know, it comes to a time and place where we have to stand up and say, no, you know, you're wrong. That's not right. Whether they believe it or not. And I believe that I still believe that in America today, that there is more of us that believe like we do than believe like they do. They just get the media attention. But if all of us that agree and believe like we do would quit splitting hairs and just get out there and stand up for what we believe is right and what's godly and what's pure and what's whole and what's you know, what, as Paul said, what makes for a good report. And we would just stand together, unified, arm in arm, and say, no, we ain't going down that road. I believe it would all stop. I believe it'd instantly be over. You know, I've always been a person who of action, and I can still remember in the first grade we had a bully. And the bully was picking on all the kids. And he picked on all the kids until one day he picked on my friend. And I can still remember it as like it was yesterday. And, you know, heaven help me. That's why God had to do so much work on me in life. And so he came over there and started messing with one of my friends. And he asked me, you know, what did I want? And I hit him right in the nose, never asked him a question. Wouldn't have been so bad except it was the principal's son. But, you know, after that day, he never did give us any problems anymore. The bully was subdued, taken down a few notches. He didn't pick on everybody anymore. He especially watched where I was. And I just think it's time that we rise up as Christians and we just say, look, we ain't putting up with this. I've had enough. End of story. This is the way it's going to go down. We're not going to go along with that anymore. We're not putting up that. Everybody is so concerned about hurting everybody's feelings except for all the 85% of us that believe like we do. I could just stay on this all day long and I'm going to get off of it because I can feel something rising inside of me that makes me want to be angry. And I want to go here. Let's go to John chapter 3. Let me get into the Word right quick. Help me, Jesus. I can't quit. I got to sit some more. I'm sorry. I have never been a prejudiced person in life. I'm just not. I'm not prejudiced. I was raised on the ranch with Hispanic people, and I spoke Spanish at an early age, and I've just never been, I've never thought less of a man for the color of his skin. Okay? I mean, it's just the way I've always been. I never even thought about it. Never even questioned. Most of my adult life, I never even thought of that. I remember when I went to Africa one time, and I was over in Africa, and I was being attacked by white South Africans who were mad at the U.S. for us in having anything to do with the apartheid. And I didn't even understand what all that was politically, and they were all hostile against me and everything because I was not prejudiced against black Africans. And I said, look, dude, I don't know what y'all's problem is. You don't understand. I said, well, maybe I don't, but I'm not. I've never been prejudiced against a person for the color of their skin. But nowadays, the world is getting so crazy that it's making everybody aware of race. And it's actually seems to be getting so out of line that we can't even function in life because we're tippy-toeing around all over everything, trying not to get ourselves in trouble, where I still think it's something that we have to rise up and say, look, you guys are idiots. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, ain't no prejudice involved in any of this stuff. Nowadays, if you don't agree with the president's plan, you're racial. It's a racist thing. And I'm like, what is he talking about? I wouldn't like that if it was my father making those plans. And I don't understand that. And so what I'm saying is that it's a spirit. It's what it's doing is it's trying to keep all of us in subjection, okay? But let me show you this, and this leading up. It really makes a point here, okay? I've had to twist it around, but it does. In John chapter 3, a passage that we're really familiar with in this chapter, but let's just read it. Give me here a little bit. There was a man named a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. You need to underline that by night. Listen to me, you do not ever need to be a by-night Christian. In other words, we don't need to be Christians that have to be concerned that if we say that we're Christians around anybody, that's going to make them feel uncomfortable. The way I live my life is simply this. If your life is lived in such a way that my life makes you uncomfortable, well, then shame on you. I'm not going to go join in with you so that you feel more comfortable. That's craziness. I live my life. I don't want to be a by-night Christian. But, you know, I get all kinds of things. Y'all get away with a whole lot more than I do. But as a pastor, I mean, they're, you know, I look like a construction worker most of the time. But when people find out that I'm a pastor, it just throws a wrench and everything. Everybody freezes and sees it. Oh, my God, the preacher's here. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? If you got something in your life that you're ashamed of because I showed up, shame on you. You should have been ashamed of because Jesus knew it anyway. Get rid of it. What do I have to do with anything? Just because I showed up don't mean nothing. You know? And so Nicodemus, he came to Jesus, but he came to Jesus by night because he was a Pharisee and a religious person, but he didn't want to be seen associating with Jesus because if he did associate with Jesus like that, then he'd have been kicked out of the Pharisee club. You know, it's like as a Christian, we've got to not be by night Christians. We've got to be not in your face. Listen to me. Christianity that tells everybody else they're going to hell is wrong. Listen to me. That topic and discussion can come up at some point. But that the point is that you lived your life is this is what you stand and believe for. I'm not going to make excuses for what I believe. I'm not going to make an excuse today that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is the only way to get to heaven. I'm not compromising that. I don't care that I have to be politically correct. They can take me out of the pulpit. They can shut the radio station down. They can tell me to shut up, but I'm not going to change my belief. I'm not going to be a by-night Christian because I know that the truth that I know made somebody feel uncomfortable. Get right. Or don't be uncomfortable around me. Have you ever thought of that? Why are they uncomfortable with that? Here's an instance. I saw a National Geographic one time where they're someplace over, and I don't know where it was, not anywhere local. where they built this really big, tall thing, and for these kids to become men, you know, they did the bungee jumping, basically what it is. But it's how close you came to the face planting it in the ground. And so they'd get up there like 100 and something feet and tie just, we're talking vines. It ain't no bungee cord like, you know, vines, and they'd jump off. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen that. And if you did it, you know, then you were a man. Okay, I'm not convicted by that. That's their belief, and if that's what they want to do to prove their manhood, fine and dandy. Just go jump off. I'm not intimidated and saying, oh, I guess I'm not really a man because I didn't jump off the bungee cord deal. I ain't going to do it. So how come if they want to believe that there's another way to get to heaven or your life's okay or whatever, then why they all get offended at me because this is what I believe? I tell you why, because deep down in the recesses of their heart, they know they're wrong. And they don't want to admit that because they want to keep doing what they're doing, but they don't want to admit that they know they're wrong. Hello. I've had people say, well, you think you're better than I am. I said, I don't think I'm better than you are. I'm just living my life. If you're convicted by my life, well, then I guess you think that what I'm doing is better than what you're doing, and I just convicted you, so why don't you just either get over it or get right? What's the issue here? Why are you all huffy at me? I didn't do nothing. But see, Christians want to back down today, and we want to back down from the world and what the world says, and we want to be the Christians by night because, oh, we don't want to offend all those Muslims that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I may get mad. I may get in trouble over this, and they, you know, maybe I'll edit it out or whatever. But I'm just telling you what, those people have been mad forever. They are mad. They are mad about everything, and whatever they got working for them, it ain't working. So I'm not converting. I'm not going to become a Christian by night. So anyway, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we've used that terminology born again as Christians probably too flippantly because people say, oh, are you born again? And people don't really know what that is. If you never went to church, if you weren't raised in church, you have no idea what that terminology born again means, right? Okay, but let me explain something to you. When they wrote it down in the Bible here, they didn't really know what it meant either. Because it was all brand new. You got to understand something. When Jesus said this, nobody heard. Those disciples been saying, born again? What does it mean to be born again? They didn't know what he's talking about being born again. They didn't. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. Now, to be a Pharisee, to give Nicodemus a little credit here, to be a Pharisee, you had to be able to take the first five books of the Old Testament, and you had to be able to read them forwards and backwards. You had to do a little study and just to memorize them forwards, much less memorize them backwards, okay? These were studied, learned people. Of the day, they were highly, 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 highly educated people, right? And when Nicodemus, when Jesus said this to him, he says the next verse, he says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? So immediately when he said born again, he thought about how. And he goes on and says, how can a man go into his mother's womb a second time? But you have to understand something. There's a little bit of a misunderstanding here because if you look at the Greek word that means to be born again, again means it's the Greek word, and it's spelled A-N-O-T-H-E-N, anothen. And it really means from above. If you go research that and look at that Greek word, it really means Jesus, when he said it to him, he says, you must be born from above. But because of the context of the scripture, they said again, because that was as close as they could try to get to in the English language to make it fit. But the Greek word, more literal translation of this was you have to be born from above rather than again. Okay? So with that thought in mind, let's read on here. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever tried to talk to somebody who is a non-Christian, a non-believer, doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And you try to talk to that person, a lot of times they just say, well, I just don't understand what you're talking about. I just can't understand it. But to you, it's clear, right? Why? Because you can see the kingdom of God. The first thing that happens to a person when they become a Christian, or should happen to a person when they become a Christian, is they see things differently. One of the litmus tests you could ever find out if you're talking to somebody, if they're really a Christian, do they see things differently? Or is it just religion to them? Are they just going to church, going through the motions, going through the routine, going through all that? They got their little certificates. They've got their little thing that says, I'm a Christian. But really, they see things and they're just the same. There's no difference. There's no change in their life. They're not any better than they were before. They just have this stamp of approval from religious association that says, yeah, you're in. See, my problem is I believe there's a lot of Christians, people that profess to be Christians on the face of this earth, that have never been touched from above. They've never had a birth from above that caused their eyes to open, that they see the kingdom of God. Folks, listen to me. I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what this whole message is about. And when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to only have started that relationship because you got touched from above. You begin to see things differently than you ever saw them before. And when you see things differently and the kingdom of heaven begins to kind of make some sense to you and things change, it's because you got touched, birthed from above, came into your life, something changed you that now you're seeing things differently. That's what truly born again means. Now you're seeing things differently. And the world, the Christian world, there's so many people, they don't see things differently. They don't have an answer. They don't know why they go to church. They don't know why they say you're supposed to pray or read your Bible or whatever. I'm not against prayers that are written, you know, praying a written prayer. I'm not against it. I've even, you know, done some for y'all before here and, you know, in the past I'll give it to you. But I am against just reading a prayer because you're just reading a prayer. It didn't come from your heart. It came out of your head. And Christians are living lives in this world today in America, and they'll confess that they're Christians, but they're living Christianity out of their head, not out of their heart. Not because they've been touched from above. Not because there's an experience in their life that's changed them. And that's the message that we've got to get to the world. That's the word that's got to go out to everyone around and say, look, have you been touched from above? Have you been birthed from above? Do you see things differently? Or you find somebody, you can obviously see that their outlook on life is not right. That's where you're starting from. Because when heaven touches a person's life, things are different. You can't be the same. You can't be the same. You can't keep doing the same things because you're seeing everything differently. And what has to happen in life is not that we try to figure out how we can be just and right for everybody and be totally and completely politically correct where no one is offended. No, we need the world to have their eyes opened and be able to see the kingdom of God. And to see heaven that's touched people's lives. Amen? Now, you can go through, I'm going to go on because I'm taking too much time. You can go through and you can look at other scriptures. You can look those words up. Luke chapter 1, verse 3, it uses that same word again, except it says from the very first, and it was the word anothen, which means from above. And so there's you can check me out to see if I'm right. Go get your Strong's Concordance, look it up, okay? If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, go buy one in the bookstore. Okay. So Nicodemus said to him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he's older? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb? And Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now again, he didn't understand this. And there's a lot of things that can be split, hairs that can be split over this one scripture about water and the Spirit. But listen to me. The Bible says that your sins are washed with the washing of the water of the Word. And when you come into a relationship and understanding in life that you're a sinner and you need some help and you repent, The next thing that's going to happen to you in life is heaven's going to touch you. You're going to get touched by the Spirit. Amen? It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We're breathing air in here because we know there's air in here to breathe because we hadn't passed out yet. We know that because science tells us that you have to breathe air. Right? But you can't get, I mean, you can grab it and you can look, but you can't see air. You can go outside and you can feel the effects of the wind blowing on you. You can see it rustle the leaves and you can see it move the trees, but you can't see where it came from. You can't see where it's going. You don't go to the North Pole and there's the wind box that it all blows out of. And this world wants to put absolutes on everything. It wants to put their basis only upon scientific evidence, but when you can't even prove, you can't even sow air, you don't even understand how it works, you can't, there's all these invisible things that we deal with in life that we don't even question. Yet when you start talking about the things of the Spirit and the kingdom of heaven, people want to question and say, well, I don't know if that's real or not. It doesn't surprise me that in the world today, people who cannot see the kingdom of heaven are trying to perpetrate all kinds of craziness upon the world. That doesn't surprise me because they can't see the kingdom of heaven. What surprises me is Christians are sitting there saying, well, you know, Jesus called us to be people of love and we need to, you know, love these people. And, well, I love them. But you're not going to put your ignorance over on us. Folks, there's some really bad things going on out there. There's some new legislation that's trying to pass that says that they want all of our teachers, and here we have an exemplary school system here in Utopia, but they're trying to force all of our, they're going to, if all the legislation passes, where they will force all teachers to have gay, lesbian, and whatever else training prior to being a teacher. Every teacher will have to go through this before you can go into the classrooms because they have to be aware of what may be in their classroom so that they will not, in the word that they use, they will not, it's worse than that. I can't think of the word that they use, but it's like they will not ruin the children. It's not the word influence. It's worse than that. It's not words. It's not offense. It's even worse than that. It's like they won't terrorize them, but it's not. In other words, it's so strong saying that if the teacher, if there's a little child who may grow up and want to be gay, that if you said, oh, that's really not the way you should be, honey, that then you cause problems in his life, that he's not going to grow up and be the right kind of person, and so therefore you're a bad teacher. And I'm like, traumatized, that's the word. Thank you. Whoever got that, said that, did you say that? You got the Golden Cookie Award. Came from over there. Traumatized. Not traumatize the children. And so I'm like, folks, listen to me. I can understand that, but listen, when you see the kingdom of God, you say, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. But when you don't see the kingdom of God, when you're not seeing through those eyes, then you can be trying to make everything roses for everybody and everything. And I had a dog one time, not the one we have now, but one previous to this, that would bite. And no matter what I tried to teach that dog, he would bite. He was a biter. He was a notorious dog biter, people biter. He was a, you couldn't make him stop. He bit everybody. So you know what I did? Got rid of the dog. You can't take a rattlesnake and try to teach it manners. Likewise, you cannot take a devil and make it not be a devil. It's programmed to bite you. There's only one thing to do with a snake. Get rid of it. It's like lion taming. I'm not sure, but I would believe that would be an oxymoron, right? Taming a lion. You can't tame a lion. You know how I know that? Because always there's video footage of the lion eating somebody. Finally, one day he says, "You're not going to crack that whip in my face anymore. I've had all I'm going to take. Today, your lunch." And they talk about this horrible attack and this lion did whatever. Here's a great one. There you go. I mean, they were like high dollar Las Vegas, big time. He got ate. Or eaten. I don't know which is the proper word. Mauled. By the pretty kitty. And my point is, as Christians, you cannot be Christians in the nighttime Christians. You can't be Christians that won't put your foot down. You can't be Christians that are trying to make everything happy for everybody. Because you got to say, that thing is a lion. It is not a pet. It is not a chihuahua. This thing going to eat you. He's programmed. He's just in his genetic makeup to eat meat. And I'm telling you, you're messing with the devil. You're messing with things that are wrong. You cannot candy coat it. You cannot put enough sugar on it, and you cannot put enough milk on it, and you cannot find enough whatever to digest that thing. It is wrong. Wrong's wrong. So if someone heard me on this message and I made them feel bad, I'm sorry. I'm telling you the answer today. Get right. Jesus loves you. Let me just show you. Come on, I got to quit this. I got too much. Y'all are just pulling this out of me. I'm not doing anything. Y'all just stirring me up this morning. I'm trying to be nice. Preach a nice little message. 3 points in a poem, and y'all got me all stirred up here. Go to verse 14. Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's wrong to tell somebody that what is going on in life is wrong if you do not give them an answer to be right. But there is nothing wrong in life standing there saying, "No, God loves you. Listen to me. Jesus is the answer. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You just need a touch from heaven. Nothing makes me angrier than somebody to tell me what's wrong with the church and nobody tells me how to make it right. I'll take any kind of advice. Just give me an answer to change. Right? And I'm telling you what. The world today system says that America needs to fundamentally be changed. America doesn't need to fundamentally be changed. We need to be changed back to what we fundamentally were. Not what we're trying to be, what we were. Come on. Because I'm telling you, church, there's no way out of it except we have an answer. And it's Jesus Christ, and he paid the price, and he made the way, and he's the answer, and that's what it is. And that's, as Christians, what we have to stand up and say, "Look, you need to be touched from heaven." And just cry out, and he'll be there for you in a second. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just show you something right quick. Really, it's going to be quick. I promise. Hang on. Look to the person beside and say, "I got a few more minutes in me." Ephesians, did I say Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me just show you what this Jesus wants to give you. Let me just show you what's in the package. Let me show you what he wants to pour upon you and in your life for coming to him. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," everybody say "who has." Does not "has" be, is in the past? And could you not say "who is already"? "Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." He's already paid the price. You're not earning it. It's already been earned by Jesus. You're just receiving it. You've already been blessed in every spiritual blessing, place in heavenly places. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Look at the person and say, "Every." Look at the person and say, "Every." That means all. That means there's nothing held back. That means there's nothing held in heaven back saying, you know, I just don't think Willie's good enough. He ain't going to get quite everything. You see what I'm saying? That ain't happening. Because if you've already been blessed with everything, that means when you go to a person who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't have the kingdom of God and not viewing the kingdom of God, they think they have to earn it because we live in this stinking system that says you're not going to get in anything in life unless you earn it. But God says, wait a minute, you can't earn it because I've already given it all to you. Woo! What a blessing. All's been given to you. So where we get this crazy doctrine that, well, you know, you hadn't quite done enough, you hadn't prayed enough, you hadn't done this enough, you hadn't done that enough, you hadn't done this, so you didn't really get it. No, wait, it's all yours. The only problem would be is appropriating it to you. Right? It's already there. It's all yours. Look at this. That's the first thing he gave you. Let's keep reading. As he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He chose us. I've said this illustration time and time again, but when we were kids, we used to play Red Rover. Right? In school, you get a big long line. Everybody play Red Rover? Anybody over here, y'all know what Red Rover is? Okay, I just want to make sure. Y'all didn't know what a call was the other night, so I don't know about Red Rover. And choosing the teams to play Red Rover was some of the most damaging things that could ever happen in life. Y'all with me? Because you wanted to be picked. I'm glad I already got chosen, Jesus. I'm glad the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Maker of heaven and earth, looked down and said, yeah, I want Robert. Woo, man. So there ain't no whose team am I going to be on have to be Red Rover and Red Rover, Red Rover. Let Robert come over. See, if you did that, I was an average Red Rover player. Because it depended on how far apart you got. Because I could only run for so long. I mean, God didn't bless me with long legs. So, you know, if I had to run too far, I actually lost momentum. So it was always, you know, I always had to size that kind of stuff up. You know, from here to the wall, I'm pretty good. But from here to the edge of the parking lot, hey. But I'm glad to know that God already chose me. He looked down, he said, I want Greg. I want Bill. He chose you. Before you even knew about a process of being chosen. That you're going to be holy and blame and without blame. Having therefore predestined us as adoption as sons. So he's going to make you a son in the family. Everybody say in the family. Verse 6, it's to the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That you're chosen, that you're accepted, that you've been given every spiritual blessing. Folks, this is a great deal. That in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given us wisdom and prudence, the forgiveness of our sins. Chose us, blesses us with every spiritual blessing. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasures, which he purposed in himself, he gave us, he made known. He's not hiding anything from us. No secrets in heaven. It's all an open disclosure. You know, it really irritates me that the president said that it was going to be an open, transparency. Thank you very much. I just need help preaching. Transparency. I'm having problems with my words this morning. Get a drink of holy water and see if that helps. Transparency. Yet we're passing bills that nobody reads. And I want to say, even heaven doesn't have secrets. Ain't right. Verse 10, and then in the dispensation of the fullness of times that he might gather together all in one and all things, Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, and on earth in him. Verse 11, in him we have also obtained an inheritance. Folks, listen to me. You already have an inheritance. My earthly inheritance that I had that was passed down from my family for generations, for 100 years of ranching and all that, I lost it. It's gone. I'll never get that earthly inheritance back. But I've already got an inheritance in heaven. And I love that. To know that I'm not going to mess up between now and then, and I already got my inheritance, that I'm already accepted and blessed and holy and without blame and got this inheritance, called a son, giving me all these blessings, call me holy, call me unblameable. What a deal! And I've already got an inheritance. Verse 12, who also we first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And we're called the praise of his glory. Always am jesting with the Lord and saying, man, if that's the best you can get, it's me being your praise and glory. I mean, Lord, have mercy. But he loves it. He loves it when you trust in him and believe in him. He loves it when you have a bad day and you turn to him and say, Jesus, I need your help. You're to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you've also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then you got sealed in all this stuff. You know what a sealer is? A sealer is something that keeps the outside elements from warping you. Right? You put sealer on wood to keep the wood protected so that the rain and the sun and all that and the heat doesn't warp the wood. Sealing in the Holy Ghost is to keep you from this world warping you. And you know, sealer has to be replaced now and then. You don't have to get saved again, but you need another dose of the Holy Ghost to keep your sealer going good. Because I don't know about y'all, but there's things that scrape on me and wear some sealer out in certain spots in life, in me. Right? And is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So then I'm sealed in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be the purchase price of the possession, and he's my guarantee. My earnest money already put down on the inheritance. Point I'm trying to make here, church, is in our relationship, this personal relationship we have with Jesus, all the deck is stacked in your favor. The world says that God is going to reject you because who are you? When I can read in my Bible and say, we've already been given everything on our side, why don't you just believe? The deck is stacked in your favor. I don't know why a person would want to reject Jesus. I don't know why a person would not want to run into the arms of Jesus. I can understand people getting burnt. I can understand, people getting influenced under bad pastors and bad ministries and bad experiences and bad this and bad that. I can understand that. But I can't understand if you just sit down and read the Bible and you believe this is the inspired word of God, you couldn't read Ephesians 1 and say, my gosh, I want some of that. Amen. So let's don't be night Christians. Okay? Let's don't be Christians that have to sneak around in the dark and hide our Christianity. Let's be Christians that are bold. Bold as lions. And we'll stand up in the face of adversity, stand up in the face of things that are going on, and realize that we have the answer to hurting humanity. I learned a long time ago, no matter what problem I come across in anybody's life, the answer is Jesus. If they say, well, this, you need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. Whether it's a bad marriage, whether it's financial trouble, whether it's lost children, whatever, don't make any difference. Somebody's done you wrong. You just need to know Jesus. That's the answer. That's why I don't have a degree in counseling, because that's my counseling. You need to know Jesus. Paul Young-Yi Cho, which is one of the most influential ministers in Seoul, Korea, and church of 500,000 or some ridiculous million. And people used to come to him for counseling. He kept under his desk a gallon of water and a loaf of bread. And he set up in his on his church grounds these little prayer huts. And they were just little rooms, one room, one little tiny little, looked like a little outhouse, really. And he would say, here, you got a problem. Let me pray for you. And here's a jug of water and here's a loaf of bread. Go out there in that little hut, lock that door, and stay there until you get your answer. That was his counseling. Had the one of the, still to this day is one of the largest churches in the world. Folks, we've got to have that personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. For just a moment, everybody, bow your heads. And let me ask you this question. In here, there's some of you I don't know. I've never got the privilege of meeting you. And I don't know where you are with Jesus. But I do know this, that he loves you. He cares for you. As I've shown you, he's already given you everything. So I ask you today, if you don't know Jesus and you want to, the Bible's real simple. It says if you just confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that's how you get introduced. And that's how you get touched from above and born again. So if that's you this morning and your heart's beating fast in you and you know that you're not right with God, and you're scared and you don't know what's going on in life, and today you want that peace of God to come into your life and you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, then I want to pray with you. But I want to ask you just to lift your hand, no one looking around, so it's between you and Jesus, and say, yeah, Pastor, you're talking to me and I want to pray and I want to ask Jesus into my life today. Just lift your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Today's your day. Today's the day that you're going to meet Jesus Christ, and all those things I read in Ephesians are going to be yours. Anyone else? Thank you. Now, those of you that lifted your hand, and all the rest of you, I want you to pray this prayer with me right there from your heart. Say, Jesus, today, I ask you to be my Savior. I give you my life. I repent of my sins. And I thank you that your blood washes my sins away. Today, my life is yours. I believe in you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And everyone look at me for a minute. Those of you that lifted your hands, I want you to know that today the Bible says that in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name got written down. Your name got written down. Your name was recorded. I don't know who, you know, a lot of times they say it's all St. Peter keeps all that. The Bible doesn't really say that, but somebody wrote your name down in the book that's in Jesus' hands. And you just got your first coat of a seal of the Spirit of God on you that says you belong to Jesus. Now, you may not understand everything today. Everything may not be clear to you at this exact moment, because I've been serving the Lord for 22 years of my life and it ain't all clear to me sometimes. But I want you to know something. You just started on a journey. You just started on a walk with Him today. And I tell you, tomorrow's going to be better than today. And the next day is going to be better than yesterday. And it's just going to keep getting better in life. You just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you just have to keep walking. And when you find troubled times and you find hard times, you call out on the name of Jesus, and you say, Jesus, help me. And I want you to know something, because your name's written down in that book, because you've been sealed in the Holy Ghost, because that inheritance is yours, because that promises are yours. He's there for you. There may not be a giant shining light, or there may be. But it doesn't make any difference, because He's there for you, working it all out. Amen? So, smartest decision you've ever made in your life. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Look to the person beside you and say, I'm trusting in Jesus. Look to the person on your other side of you and say, woo, heaven is mine. And then one more time, look at somebody else around you and say, man, I feel bold as a lion. And then one more time, turn to this person beside you and say, I'm kind of hungry. Take that person's hand beside you. Can I have my prayer team, if you got the prayer team, pastoral team, come down up front. If you are here as we dismiss service and you need more prayer, you want us to pray with you about anything, we're here for you. We'll pray with you. We'll set our agreement with you. And I believe that God will touch your life. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God that's upon each and every one of us. And Lord, we declare that as we go out of this building today, that we are going to be bold as a lion. Lord, we're not going to let anything get in our way. Well, we're going to tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and, Lord, what you've done for each and every one of us. Today, Lord, I thank you as we leave this building that you're going to put people across our path. This is going to be the greatest week we're going to have. Lord, we're going to smile at more people this week than we've ever smiled at before. And you're going to grant us more opportunities than we've ever had. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, your blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, we're here up front for you. If you need any more prayer, God bless you.